live from Buford Thompson's Fish Stand in Pike Street Market in Seattle, Washington. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, accomplished and seasoned banjoist, legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, mentor to young attorneys, and a man who always has a twinkle in his eye, Richard J. Ringhausen. Also featuring marksman, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and a man always ready to add another skull to his collection, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Kind of had a long start and finish, didn't it? That was Nina, wasn't it?
Nina Hagen.
Hagen. She's German, right? They did a German version of this first and had a hit with it.
They did?
Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything. Are you hearing something?
I hear music playing. Is it a call you have to take?
It's our brother.
Which one?
Ferg.
Put him on the air. Record him. Tell him he's on the air.
Yeah, okay. Hang on. I can't make it work. Okay, there we go.
This is Dr. Ferd.
It is Dr. Ferd. Hello?
Dr. Ferd?
You've been putting out some new products lately. I don't know if you realize they've been released.
Something to do with, like, bag balm or...
Well, it was your anger suppression product.
Are we doing the podcast right now?
You're in the middle of it.
You're being recorded on it, yes.
I thought Rick was in Florida.
No, I'm back.
I wish he was.
No, we were supposed to start at 7 o'clock, and of course I was picking my camper up. It was supposed to have been repaired, and it wasn't done on time, and I had to sit around and wait. So I'm in a cranky mood.
Rick has on his angry face.
My question is, can either of you ever state a time when you took something in to be repaired when it came out exactly when they said it would? Said, well, you can pick this up tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon comes, is your machine ever ready?
I think it's just you.
It's not just me.
I've had that happened with me quite a few times. Yeah.
Happened which way?
That you got it
to
on
the good.
To the good.
To the good. Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second.
You should go to AMCO. AAMCO.
Brad's real close with his mechanic.
Yeah, no kidding. What, do you date him?
Every time I've gotten my transmission fluid changed, it's always right. It's always perfect, right where they say.
Every time I've ever taken something in to have my transmission fluid done, they always tell me I need a new transmission.
They tell you need fluid because it's empty. You run it dry.
I don't know what this grinding sound is.
I'm telling you, you take a vehicle to a transmission repair shop and say, can you have a listen to this? Every 100% of the time, they're going to say you need a new transmission.
Man, well, where are you going?
Every transmission place in America.
It's like brakes. You take your vehicle in for brake pads, and they tell you you need new rotors and new shoes and blah, blah, blah. No.
And I challenge you.
Put new brake pads on and let me go.
I challenge you. Challenge you. To take your car in to a tire shop and say, can you check my tires out and not come out having to buy new tires? They're never going to say, oh, these tires are fine. You can go.
Their new routine is Our store policy is that if you don't have a certain percentage of tread, we can't repair the tire. You have to replace it. That's fine. Take it down off the rack. I'm going someplace else.
And we can't let you leave the shop with these. It's Illinois law.
Lori went in. She had a...
Wait. Who's Lori for the listeners?
My wife, Lori.
Okay. Not your girlfriend, Lori.
She had a flat tire, and she took it in to... I can't even think which one it is now. But anyway, she took it in, and they told her that since her vehicle is an all-wheel drive, that she had to replace all four tires.
hey, and the spare.
And did she call you on that one?
Oh, yeah. I said, do not buy four new tires. Absolutely do not buy four new tires.
Did we have... Did they have to use Dr. Ferd's anger suppression collar on you?
She didn't let me go in. She can fight a good fight. She's like Sarah.
That would be Alan's wife.
Not Rick's wife, the Boston Strong Girl.
Face it, Alan. When you need something done business-wise and you need to send in a strong arm, who do you send in?
Wow.
Elizabeth.
Wow, you said her name.
Yeah, you're right. Bleep that out.
All right.
Actually, the previous episode, we had my eldest daughter on here with us.
Okay. I haven't caught that one yet.
Yeah, it's probably better that you don't.
Yeah.
Was she live in studio?
Yeah, she was live in studio.
Oh, wow.
Did you say live or lying in studio?
No, that's us.
Well, maybe both. But. So she got to eat snacks. See, I don't even get to eat snacks.
Well, come in when you can speak clearly so we don't have this thing that sounds like you're broadcasting from the International Space Station.
I was thinking from a casket.
Does sound kind of like that.
I have talked about driving, so it could be a casket before long.
True. Are you eating a plate of spaghetti while you're driving?
No, that's why he's delivering the mail.
He'll eat shrimp.
That's always a good food for the road.
You know, the last question that we asked on, or that Alan asked on the last episode was, how many pennies do you think you can put in your mouth? And that just struck me after I was listening to it. How many pennies do you think
I don't think I can do pennies. I could try like a dime or a quarter, maybe.
Oh, the copper?
That copper throw me off.
Messes with your feelings?
Yeah.
Nickels then, Brad. How many nickels could you put in your mouth?
100?
It's like chewing on aluminum foil. You know, you can only do it so long, but... A good piece of tin.
I didn't say you have to chew. I didn't have to chew them. We just asked how many you could stuff in your mouth.
How many nickels are in a roll of nickels?
What is a roll of nickels? Is $5? Be 20? Is it 100?
That'd be 100.
Well, I could get a roll of nickels in my mouth. So 100. We're beyond that already. And if you can really push your cheeks out, I'm saying a guy could hold, you know, 300-400 nickels in his mouth.
Did you ever take like a chipmunk that's been eating sunflower seeds and just squeeze them till they all pop out to see how many
seems to me you need Larry Clunk on the show.
And just have a bowl of nickels here and say, have at it, Moose.
To test this nickel theory.
We need your expertise. A guy who will put anything in his mouth. There's a skill there.
The best fish, apples, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
is Greg there?
No, Greg's in Sweden. He's the commissioner of the Swedish female alligator wrestling Olympic team.
Oh, Well, they got a good one.
He's the oil boy.
Oh, I know.
Craig's when he does his work with the Swedish female alligator wrestling team, he believes in a hands-on approach.
Does Dr. Ferd have some kind of Swedish oil that he's hawking?
I think that was Uncle Den's oil, Swedish body oil. Uncle Den has
the... So you're using the competition's oil.
Well, yeah. If it's a product that's edible, Uncle Den produces it. If it's something dangerous or ridiculous, that goes to Dr. Ferd.
With the exception of the fireworks guy.
Of Doyle's.
Yeah.
Doyle McIntyre
does fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah, spread the danger around a little bit.
You know, going back to this repair thing, the last time I took...
You're still angry, Rick.
Well, you know, this camper has been like a life experience in repairs. We bought the thing. Bought it. You know, it was a deal. It was a steal.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it online.
Right.
And we drove to Florida and bought it.
And now you're going to drive it back to Florida?
When we get it from Florida, you know, we stop on the way. You know, we're going to camp right there in the town we bought it at, you know, just to, because we can't hardly resist it. And the water heater breaks right then and floods the camper. First day we had it.
Nice.
So, you know, I go back.
I guess the floors were super clean after that.
And, you know, the guy says, well, so we take it back to the shop, of course. Well, you know, there's no warranty on it. You know, this was a consignment sale. A consignment sale? You know, so I'm like starting to throw a little fit. He says, all right, bring it back next week. We'll fix it. I said, I live in Illinois. I'm here now. Can't do it now. So we ended up driving home. And
how long did you stomp and rant and rave?
Oh, I stomped and ranted. I ranted.
At what point did you work yourself up into enough of a rage that you said, do you know who I am?
I'm an attorney. Yeah.
Okay.
So we stop
did
at
he,
a...
Did
you give him the Jimmy Stewart line?
I'm an attorney at law, and you may have us in your sights right now, and I'll see you in jail for this.
Okay.
Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, that's the one.
So we stop at a Camping World in Lake Florida, or Lake City, Florida, on the way. I'm gonna have this water thing fixed, right?
Okay.
So we stop in, and they fix it, put a new plug in, and we're able to figure out what the problem is. So now we we stop in Tennessee to camp on the way home, and it floods just like it did before. It blew the plug out that the Lake City place put in it.
Would it have a bad thread or something, or?
I can't begin to tell you. So now, you know,
you're double mad.
It's flooded again. Everything's flooded. We're sopping up water. And while I'm cleaning this up,
you get electrocuted.
Now some guy comes walking down the street, you know, another camper in the campground. He goes, hey, I see you got a Cougar XML-22. He says, you know, I'm an ambassador for Cougar campers.
You son of a...
Oh, my God. Did I send him crawling back into his hole? I'll bet he never does that again. I said, well, you know, I'm not too darn pleased with this camper right now. Let me tell you. He's like, I'm... And he just stammered and laughed. And he said,
wow.
So...
Making all kinds of friends, weren't you?
So now, you know, I am determined to have this thing fixed. So, you know, we leave the campground in Tennessee, and we come up on another Camping World, Camping World Southern Illinois. And I go in there, and they figure out that the other place didn't put the correct part on, and not only are they going to fix it, they're going to stand by the company warranty and fix it for
free. Whoa!
So they fix it, and it's fixed correctly this time. So we're going to take it out one more time. And I take it out again, and I'm like, Sue, you know, this camper, there's just something bad smelling about it. And it turns out the reason it was a bargain in the first place in Florida is that it had been infested with mice.
Yeah. Nice.
And so I take it to a friend of mine, Patrick, who helps me carve a hole in the bottom of it. And I guess just a ton of mouse droppings and mouse nestings and stuff, mice just drop out of it. He says, "You got a mouse infection problem."
You got a mouse problem here, boy.
So I take it back to the Camping World that was actually able to fix it.
So they just throw a cat in there and close the door?
And I guess they hose it out or whatever, because since that time, it's been flawless in terms of its, I mean, it doesn't smell, water works fine.
Other than, like, you.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
So we take it out. We take it out again, you know, and we stop at some rest area in Georgia, and we're walking the dogs. We've got our dogs, you know, and you stop at rest area, dogs got to walk. And we come back, someone sideswiped it and, like, busted the side in the roof and everything, hit and ran.
And nobody saw a thing.
Nobody saw a thing. I ended up having to take it back to another camping place to have it. It turned out they
How many repair places are you welcome at now, Rick?
I have to just keep taking them. Because I had taken it, to one over in, like, Pacific, Missouri. And to have, this was an old tank, different camper. We filled it up with water, new camper, we're going to take it out. Fill it up with water to test it out. And the water tank just explodes, jumps all the water in the driveway. I had to take it in to put a new tank on it. And when I come to pick it up from getting the new tank put on it, it had a 40-gallon water tank on it. And when I pick it up, it's got a 20. I said, "Well, this one we had handy." Like, so
you jumped up and down and threw another fit.
Oh, yeah, I threw another fit. I'm not allowed in that place either.
Wow.
Or the one over on
Interstate. Do they just see you coming, Rick?
Or the one on Interstate 270 that didn't winterize it properly and caused the water here to freeze up.
Do you wear, like, when you go in there?
So I can't go in there either.
Polka dotted shirt with striped pants, high water pants, red socks.
What's that got to do with being angry?
I'm just saying, they see you and think,
Brad's angry all the time, and he doesn't dress like that.
Here's a mark. Here's an easy mark. We'll just put a piece of junk back in. He won't know the difference.
If you have a camper and you successfully find a place that can fix your camper and you're satisfied with them, you need to let everybody know that.
Well, you said there's some place that fixed it and applied the warranty on it.
That is true.
And where was that at?
Oh, I was trying to think. Is that Marion, Illinois?
Okay.
What's south of Vandalia?
Nothing.
Well, there's a darn good Camping World down there. And this place in St. Louis, actually, you know, they it took them an extra 10 days to get it done. It looks like the workmanship is very good. Okay. And they were very friendly. They were apologetic for it not being done 10 days earlier than it was supposed to have been.
And today was the due day.
10 days ago was the due date.
Oh, okay, okay.
But there was always some reason why it took another day. Another day. So today I was supposed to pick it up at 3 o'clock, and I get there at 3 o'clock. Well, it's going to be another 45 minutes. We want to finish up doing whatever.
Yeah?
45 minutes turned out to be closer to 3 hours.
Wow.
Earl's still sleeping.
Is Brad still here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is where I needed Brad. I should have wheeled him in and said, "Here, talk to my brother."
You know, they're using your camper as their Johnny on the spot.
That's where you have Brad. Well, okay, send the mechanic over here. I'll be inside the camper waiting for him.
They wheeled it out, and all the repair guys are going, "Bring in the new sleeper." And whoever else is next. But while I'm waiting to pick my camper up, I'm finally going to pick it up. There's another guy who's there to pick his camper up, and he's just throwing an absolute Brad Ringhausen fit. I didn't get the gist of what his problem was, but he was just steaming furious at the repair place for whatever reason.
I'm assuming that's everybody that comes in there.
He got results.
Yeah. Oh, do you get results, do you?
You betcha.
You get arrested.
Right after he sends in Lori and Sarah.
And Sue. Get all three of them. The three musketeers.
Every time I go to those places, I'm like, listen, buddy, if you don't give me what I need, I'm sending my wife in here.
They've all heard that before.
All right. Easy, sir. Easy.
Nobody wants a wife in the repair room. Take it easy. We'll fix it.
Right.
Talking repair is men's work. Wow. We told Alan's daughter that she couldn't drive a camel because she wasn't a man.
She did a show on world travel.
Well, she should know.
Yeah, I mean, she could have said anything. We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big lie. We know pretty good.
For that matter, I'm not even sure she really goes on these trips. I think they're all photoshopped.
Like the landing on the moon.
Yeah. Unless you bring me a piece of the pyramids.
Oh, she's got that.
Oh, yeah.
Every place they go, they chip a piece off of any monument that they visit. You know, they're good tourists. They're good American tourists. They know you do that. You should see the pieces of the Colosseum me and Alan brought back from Rome.
I got the Pope's pinky.
I got one of those.
Well, you go to the Vatican, there's a tourist stand outside that'll sell you pieces of saints.
Is there?
Yeah, but mine's John Paul I. It's a rare one. He was only there for a month.
We had the same number of pieces as everybody else, so it's not like there was less of him. He wasn't there that long.
I have the Shroud of Turin towel set.
And the Veronica face cloths.
Yes.
I told the wife about your Mark Twain kidney stone story.
What's my Mark Twain kidney story?
That was interesting. Was it the Mark Twain cave you were in?
Oh, the cave story. No, that was in Alabama. That was an Alabama cave story. Man. Yeah, that was a bad day, too. I was cranky that day, too.
I bet you were.
You got kidney stone, you got lost, and you hit your head.
Yeah, that all three of those.
And you had Rooster making fun of you.
Yeah, I did.
Sounds like a typical day at the campground.
You know, I will say this. The one good thing about having a camper as opposed to a tent when you're camping, you know, is that when it rains and you're in a camper, you know, you kind of look out the window and go, huh, it's raining. And then you come out after it's raining and you walk around, and all the people who are in tents look like the most miserable human beings on earth.
You want to know who the happiest people are? The ones that are staying in the hotel.
Oh, yeah, but you don't get to see nature that way.
Don't need to. I like to watch TV.
Yeah, they may be in a tent, but their toilet didn't explode.
There you go.
Well, neither did mine, smart guy.
Water heater, Brad, water heater.
Yeah, it was a water heater.
Oh, water heater, sorry.
Toilets all functions pretty good. We've not had any issues with that.
Aren't the toilet and water heater hooked together?
Well, they shouldn't be. It's not like the space station where they just recycle everything.
I'm worried about some of these places you've been taking your camper. And, you know, one of these days, they're going to hook it up that way. Now, okay, this hose go to the...
I'm not refilling my water bottles over there.
Does this hose go to the gray water or the black water or the...
The problem with camping repair shops, and it's not just the one I went to today, every camper repair shop... Apparently, there's like one master repairman that really knows everything there is to fix in a camper, knows how to fix them, and then there are all of his underlings who are high school dropouts.
Apprentices.
Apprentices, right, that's what I meant to say. And they don't know as well. And they're not quite as motivated in terms of fixing stuff. I think that a lot of their positions are that
they're like the minions.
Drywall covers a lot of sins.
Yeah, there you go.
Like the house that, you know, you have a new house built. You could just come in when it's done. You have no idea what sort of horrifying things are behind the drywall.
You know, I was, used to do this mobile DJ thing, you know, where I'd go out and play at wedding dances and parties and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was this construction company that hired me to play at their Christmas party. And they had their Christmas party in this house that they were building, but it wasn't completely done yet. But they had it set up to where they had heat in it and electricity and so forth. And instead of renting a hall, they just had the party in this big house that they were building. And these carpenters got all drunked up and started fighting and wrestling with each other. And they started punching holes in the drywall. And the boss, you know, he comes around behind the table where I'm at, you know, just kind of get out of the fray. And I said, "Oh my God, look at the damage." He said, "Hey, they have to fix it come Monday." So, you know, it was like, let them go. Let them have their fun.
You remember back in the day we used to play in a band, right?
Yeah, we did.
Brad probably remembers that. He was in the same band. And we'd go to bars. We'd play in bars sometimes. You know, and you plug your guitar in and hook the mic system up. And you always have that moment when you're kind of tapping the mic to see whether or not you're going to get shocked.
See if your polarity's right, yeah.
I would say fully half of the bars that we played in had outlets that were wired backwards. To where you got shocked when you went up and that they were not all grounded properly.
And?
Is that what does that?
Duh. Don't you figure, I mean, how many times does that happen? I mean, how many bars have their electricity wired incorrectly in them?
Well, it's a bar.
The people that are building them, at the end of the day, what are they going to do? They're drinking beer.
First off, most of the bars that you travel to around here are buildings that were repurposed from something else.
Right? Most likely.
You know, and that they're all like 100 years old. They all started off with just ungrounded, you know, like ball and wire outlets behind the walls, you know. And then as the years go by, they'll add a couple outlets, and some of them are grounded and some of them aren't. And Lord only knows what the original ones, how they were wired.
Hey, that's what makes it all work, Rick. I mean, it's the excitement. You know, sometimes you get shocked,
sometimes you don't. Yeah.
You know? It's just part of
that's
life, man.
That's rock and roll, man.
There you go. That's rock and roll.
You know, you can tell who are seasoned musicians because seasoned musicians will kind of tap the mic a little with their hand and pull away to see whether they're going to get shocked. Guys who don't know what they're doing will just lean up and start singing into a mic until their lip happens to touch it.
Yep.
Whoa!
And then start whining and crying.
Oh, yeah.
That Rick, must have happened to me 50 times.
We're out of time.
We're out of time, huh?
We're out of time.
Well, how much time would we have if I edit all of Brad out?
We would have a good time.
There you go.
Well, it's been fun. See you later from Rick Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Federation. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligators Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. The part of Carmen the Doorman was played by Brad Ringhausen.